This church will not be broken. People will not be removed, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, that you will touch each and every one of us, Lord. So, Father God, we know each and every one of our place in this body, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is here this morning. I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, Father, that when I first got saved, you spoke to me. The whole thing for me was about love. Your love, because I'd never really experienced love before. My parents were not very loving parents. I never had much of a loving relationship with them when we were unsaved. There wasn't a lot of love in the relationship. And as soon as I got saved, I just knew that there was an immense love in me that came from God. And I just wanted to share that when we draw from God's love, when we really draw from him, that love that's poured into us, we pour it out to others, especially the unsaved. And it's that love that really draws them to us. And really, they really want to know what it is that we have. And it's just so amazing that when we used to have the life groups quite a few years ago, and it was amazing when Joyce was first there. It was that love that really drew her in, and she was quite a hard nut to crack, Joyce. But it was that love, and it was that love that really, really spoke to her, and that's what we should be doing as we go out. I know. For me, it's not always easy. We have neighbours and friends and relatives that upset us. But as we do show that love, as Anne did to my father a while ago, and she did a loving thing by going to see him and stuff like that, as we do these things, these practical things, and show that love, it just breaks these things that are standing in the way. And I just thank you, Lord, that you just do these miracles. And we're going to see much fruit through it as we pour out that love. And also the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me about our testimonies. He said it's really important not just to share them on a Sunday morning, but during the week, you know, even in the workplace, you know, if you've received a healing or if you've received some financial gift from somebody, it's good to share with the unsaved people, you know, when you're out and about, or even, you know, family relatives, you know, the unsaved. And it's really, really just, it just encourages us as well, as we share with one another, even if it's in a text message, just to send a text message to one another to say, you know, I've received this healing. I had prayer this week and I've received a healing. Or financial gain, that God's really blessed you. I'm praying for financial gain because my brother-in-law blew the engine up in my van yesterday. So I'm praying for financial gain. But Lord, Anne said to me, the Lord's in it, Lee. The new vehicle will come, so we just pray that this morning. So he also spoke to me in our relationships with especially married couples, and Anne's really, really taught me over the years. I'm not as good as what she is at praying. I don't know. The ladies always seem to be more powerful at praying than us fellas, but she really is an inspiration to me, because when I feel really low and down and stuff, she will always lay in the bed next to me, and she will lay her hands on me and pray for me, or just speak the word over me, read the Bible as I'm going to sleep, and she will pray for me, and I'd encourage you as married couples to really do that. Because it really does bring you back into line, and especially for the you know, I know there's a few of you that your partner's not saved, so you know, to pray for them. They're not going to know they're asleep, so but really just to really pray for them, and pray that God's hand will be upon them, and their blessing, and his blessing will be upon them always. And she really has been an inspiration to me when it comes to that. And also, she's taught me, I used to like my music. I used to like a bit of Dire Straits, Phil Collins, all that, and play it loud in the house. And really taught me that, you know, to listen to worship music and CDs, you know, the ministry CDs, the recordings. And I'm not always in the mood for that. But I notice that every time Anne puts the music on, it changes the mood in the house. The house changes, the atmosphere changes, the kids will change. And it's just so amazing how God just comes in just through that music and through a word and in the home. And we don't realise that how some of the secular music that we put on can bring the house down. So Anne really encourages me not to listen to that stuff so much anymore. So we have a lot of that going on in our house, and God's really teaching us to pray together as a couple as well. So that was the main thing. So what I'd like us to do, I'm just going to read a word, unity in the body, Ephesians 4. And then what I'd like us to do is if we can just break off into groups of five, about five, and then just pray that each and every one of us knows our place, and all of us know our calling. So, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. We are all one body, we have the same Spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is only one God and Father, who is over all of us all, in us all, and living through us all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift, according to the generosity of Christ. This is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This means that Christ first came down to the lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that his rule might fill the entire universe. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors. Their responsibility is to equip God's people and to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is in the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing in full of love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So if we can just break off into groups of five and just really just pray that God just really shows us where our calling is and where our place is in the church. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The Holy Spirit is ministering and releasing faith and the word, and it's excellent. It's releasing his life, so wonderful, Lord. That's a great word, Lee. Thank you. See, take a word like that and then apply it. It's good. It's good. Very good. Now, I'm going to ask Anita. So I've told her she can't preach for an hour. Remember, she's from Africa. So
hello, I've never done I've actually spoken a lot to people, you know, back home during my work experience and every day, but this is my first time to do this here. And I hope and I pray to God above that when you leave here, you go out with hope.
Amen.
Lots of hope, knowing that good things are going to happen in your life. And it's going to happen real and big time. Pastor Paul has been talking to us about God the Builder. And rise up and build. This has been going on for some weeks. And when he sent me a text and said, can you have a word for us? I thought to myself, wow. I always felt that I was quite bold and full of courage. But when I got the text, I must be honest with you. I like replying to texts very quickly. This time, 20 minutes. No reply. Got down on the floor straight. I said, you've got to come down. God has to come down and lead me. Saturday, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, my daughter Michelle said to me, Mommy, it's 5:30. There's still no word. And I said, I have faith. Before Sunday morning, there will be word. He said, but you're going out. You're going to a birthday party at 7. We're tight. I said, the word will come. And it is here. Amen.
Amen.
1st, what we pastor talked about, this rise up and build. I think a lot of us were wondering, what is this rise up and build? Rise up. How are we going to do it? What does that mean? And when I prayed and prayed and prayed about it, what I felt and what I could tell that God was telling us that we should be proactive. Proactive in our lives. We should be proactive Christians. We should not be passive Christians. We should not sit down and wait for manna to fall from heaven, because it's not going to do that. I kept on feeling this thing, saying, be active, be proactive, have the mentality and attitude of a victor. When you have the mentality and attitude of a victor, that means every time you see light, and you see light and you know you're going to get it, you're going to be victorious. You have to have that mentality. This is rise up. This is what he means by rising up. And then finally, getting out of our comfort zone. We're very used to sitting in our homes, coming to church on Sunday, having tea and coffee. Oh, hello, Michelle, hello. And off we go. Comfort zone. If you have to rise up and build, you cannot stay in your comfort zone. You've got to step out. You've got to move. And this is extremely important. I have moved from Africa. I have moved and I have come here. Africa was my comfort zone. This is not my comfort zone, trust me. This is tough. And I've had to move out of my comfort zone. I moved here and I'm thinking, first of all, I've got to find a church. I'm a Christian, believe me. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. Fighting battles upon battles. I got here and I said, I need a church. God, I had two choices. I could sit in my home in Horsham, pray every day, and wait for somebody to knock on my door and say, Anita, I have a church for you. And then I would have gone out and found the church. Anyway, my neighbor did come and say, I have a church for you. And we went to a church in Rofi. And I thought, well, number one, average age was about 78. We got up to, you get up about 10 times. And finally, the guy sitting behind me almost collapsed. So I thought to myself, God, I love you dearly, but this is really tough, you know. Went back to my house on my knees again. I need a church. So I decided to go to Horsham. I'm talking about getting up and being very active, proactive in your life. I got up. This is not my territory. I am not driving. African license is not allowed here. You know, I have to take English license. This is another story. So I go to the Horsham Church, Kingdom Faith. Every time I went there, there was nobody. Because back in Africa, all the churches have their offices in the church. So I was expecting that there would be somebody I could talk to. I went with my husband. I went with my daughters. Every time we went there, week after week, we didn't meet anybody. I said, God, this is getting tougher. So I decided, okay, now let's take a proactive. I'm not going to be a passive Christian. I'm just telling you this because you have to believe that it happens and it is real. That is important in practical life. So I step out. I go to Crawley because I've been told that there are African hairdressers there. So I step into this hairdressing saloon. And I, you know, sort of hanging around, having my hair washed. And I asked the girl, well, what church do you go to? She mentioned some church somewhere in Bewbush or something. I said, oh, this is getting tough. I don't know where Bewbush is. But anyway, but it didn't all quite sound all right. And then I saw this girl come in. She had braids. I said, oh, she's African. She probably will have a church. So who was this? So I see her, and I get up from my church. I'm not the hairdresser. I walk up to her. I say, hey, do you need something done to your hair? She said, yes. I need to. I said, oh, my name is Anita. And she said, my name is Sidi. I said, what church do you go to? And she said, Kingdom Faith Crawley. And I said to her, can I come? She said, yes, but you're invited 28th September to my wedding. Blessing. I said, wow. This was about 9th September. I have to wait 3 weeks before I can come to this church. This is going to be tougher than I thought. So I decided, after about a week, I called her. I said, look, do you remember me? I'm the girl who offered to do your hair, but I'm not the hairdresser. But can I come to your church? And she said, I'll contact my husband, Victor. He drives. I don't drive. You know, we are from Africa. We don't drive here. I said, brilliant. And they came and they brought me here. Proactive. You have to step out. You have to work with it. You have to pray, but you've got to get out there and try and get it. It's very important to be encouraged and to move in that direction. And just a quick one. I had a friend back in Africa, and she phoned me one day and said, my marriage is breaking down. It's in pieces. There's problems everywhere. So you have to pray for me. This is 12 years ago. My husband has found somebody else, and I said, okay, come over, we'll pray. So we prayed. After praying a couple of weeks, I called her. I said, look, we have to be proactive. We want to save the marriage. Let's try something. Maybe I can talk to your husband. He said, okay, go ahead. So I had a couple of words with the husband to see if, you know, we could be proactive in saving the marriage. And the husband had a lot of complaints. One of the major complaints is that the wife came to bed wearing a tracksuit. An Adidas gray tracksuit. Trust me, I know this tracksuit. She had it in university. So, and this is like 15 years after marriage, she was still wearing this in the heat of Africa. So I thought to myself, this is getting tight here, proactive. We have to get going. So I called her. I didn't know how to do it. I said, well, why do you, how do you sleep? Anyway, she said, oh, I wear my stuff. And blah, blah, blah. I said, how do I tell her this is not on? You know. So eventually I decided it was Christmas time. I'll get her a nice present, a nice 90 from Marks and Spencer's, you know, so that she can be proactive. And what happened? She decided to ditch my 90 and continue. And years later, 12, 15 years later, no proactiveness. The husband has had 3 kids with this woman. So I went back at Christmas. I said, what do we do now? 12 years. All she said is that I'm praying and God will intercede. And I said, look, I have a good relationship with God. Trust me, you've got to move. If you move, he moves. If you get out there, he will let you get what you want. You've got to reach out for what he has out there for you. So she decided she was going to make a move. And believe me, there are miracles happening in her life. So all I want you to know is that it does happen. You've got to reach out for what God has given to you. And you might also ask again that now we know we have to be active, proactive. I've got a verse to read. And maybe I should get somebody to read it. Or should I wear my glasses and attempt it? This is on the proactive part. It's James 2, 14 to 17. James 2, 14 to 17. Give you a few moments. My brothers, what good is it for someone to say that he has faith if his actions do not prove it? Can that faith save him? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in your saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? Basically, you've got to move. You can't say, praise him, praise him, praise him in your room and miracles will happen. You've got to get out there. So the next thing you ask is, how do we do it? How do we go about it? What materials? Pastor Paul told us we need materials to build. People came up with concrete, this. And now we finished the rising up. What do we do? How do we build? You ask this big question. How do we build? How do we move from rising up to this building? One thing you know is that you are a child of God. You are sitting in this room because you are a child of God. Amen. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, being a child of God, you've got promises from God. And God is faithful. He's a God of promise. I tell you, if I decide to tell you my life and my testimony, I will need 3 years. Every day of my life has been a testimony to God. And because he's made promises to us, we know he's going to fulfill these promises. And I want Tamara to read a verse for us. It's Mark 11:24. Being a child of God, having the Holy Spirit, knowing that he has promises for you. I want her to confirm these promises, because sometimes we don't believe things.
Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
And it will be yours. This leads us to one basic and very important thing about rising up and building. Prayer. Big time prayer. Prayer, as Pastor Paul told us, is a relationship with God. It's communicating with God. It's big time. You don't have a choice. You are a Christian. You need to communicate with him. Prayer. Let's relate this to practical things. You communicate with God. He gives you wisdom and direction, because you've risen up, you've taken up the action. I'm going to be proactive. Now the next thing is, what am I going to do? I need prayer. Prayer, because we need direction. With no direction, with no wisdom, forget about anything. You can't make it. And this is going to come from prayer. Big time prayer. I'll give you a little example, because that's what I know. Airports. You communicate, you get to an airport at 10 o'clock in the morning. There are about 20, 30 flights landing. Everyone then tries to land. It will be chaotic. So what did they do? They immediately communicate with the control tower. And the control tower, that's what tells you. Don't land here. Turn to the left. Fly here. If you go here, you land in water. You do this. And what do? You follow it. You follow it so you don't crash, you don't have problems on the runway and the tarmacs. It's the same with prayer. You pray to God. He's in control. He will direct you. He will tell you where to go, how to do it. And out of constant praying comes one big thing, faith. Big time faith. I like the word big time. You know, it's very black. You know, we like it. So you have big time faith. And this faith, what does it do? It pushes you. It moves you. It moves you every day. And you keep on praying and you grow. And with faith comes one thing, confidence. You step out in faith. You step out in confidence. And this confidence is extremely important, because if you want to build, you need confidence. If you are a builder, you are building a house, you don't have confidence. You will not put the brick right. You will not do the right thing. You see people doing work, and they are confident in what they do. They pour the concrete, they slap this, they do this, they paint. It's confidence. And people think confidence is of earth. No. I have a passage, and I want Yvonne to read this for us. It will tell you and let you know that confidence is also from God. You need to step out in faith, step out with confidence. Amen. These are some of the things you need. So we're looking at Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Please.
Hi. Do not throw away this confidence. Trust in the Lord no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you.
Remember the great reward it brings you. It is not my word. This is the word of God. It is in his word. People think when you have confidence, it means you are something about you. Confidence is also faith. It is power. You need it. If you want to go out and ask a girl to come out with you, you need confidence. You don't want to be single all your life. You need confidence. You need to step out. It's extremely important. And the other thing I can tell you is that gifts and talents. To build, you need to, how do I say it? You need to get together your, you know, like your talent and your gift. You need to, what's the word? Michelle, you know these things. Realize. You need to realize your gift and your talent. And this is a paper, and this is what Pastor Paul wants us to do. You need to realize your gift and talent. And like Thorsten said this morning praying, you shouldn't see it as a burden. You should see it as a gift and as a talent. And when you realize these talents, a lot of praying, confidence, all we've been talking about this morning with these passages, you are heading for victory. Yeah. You have nowhere else to go. You're concentrating on the light at the end of the tunnel. And everything is going to happen to you right here on this earth whilst you are alive, not when you're dead. Because it doesn't happen then. It's greater things happening here. You will get the blessings here. You get the fulfillment here. I am a living testimony of that. Amen. And you might ask that, how are we going to do all this thing? We'll get another time. I hope Pastor Paul will give me another time. And I'm going to talk about the gifts and how to realize it and how we're going to move forward on it. And you might think, well, it all seems rosy. Are we not going to face problems? Yes, it's not going to be like every day a smooth ride, but it's okay, because we have another promise from God that whenever we have a problem, whenever we slip, he's going to take care of us. And I want CD to read Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12, CD. Sorry, I didn't see you before. And this is only to confirm to us that whatever you feel, you think you're going to head for problems concerning all this rise and build, there is a promise from God. And believe me, it works. It works big time. One day I'll give you just a little bit of my testimony. And then you will see that God is a God of miracles. You know, when you move from zero to something, he's a God of miracles. When you move from Africa with nothing and you rise up there, he's a God of miracles. Over to you, CD. Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12. It's just to reassure you that he is there. He's there to take care of you.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against stone.
Thank you. So that you will not strike your foot against stone. He will send his angels. I know a lady who used to pray every day for her kids, that they go to school, they will not strike their feet against stone. And years, now the kids are like 40, 42. And believe me, five kids, none of them had a problem in school. Try it. He's there to hold you. And I will end by a little prayer. If we bow down, I don't know what I'm going to say, but let's see what happens. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. We come before Thee with humility and thanksgiving. Praises for what we have here. Sometimes we do not realize what we have here in this country. We've got loads. When you come back all the way from Africa, you know that here is a big blessing. There's also blessing there, but people don't realize it here. So, Father, today we come before You with what You have anointed us with, the gift, the talent, with everything. And we pray for strength, Father, that You will lead us, You will guide us. We will build, we will rise up, we will build, and at the end, we will be victorious, because each and every one of us here is going to be blessed. I know it, and You know it, God. This is Your promise. We will prosper in this church. People will have their own businesses. And with that money, Father, we will build Your kingdom. You've told us in James 2. We just cannot do it with faith. We've got to do it with works. So, Father, today we come before Your presence with humility. Big time humility. And we ask You for one big gift. Wisdom. Wisdom, Father, that will take us far and wide. Will help us to reach out, to realize what we have, to bring us our talent and everything. Father, we come before Thy presence today, and we pray that You be with each one of us, that as we walk out of this church, Father, we walk with hope. We know that You will give it to us. It's not that we are waiting for it. You have given it, and it will happen live. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. On the gift talk, just one last thing. On talents, I have to mention this. It's amazing. You think Pastor Paul, his talent is being a pastor. Did you see him on the football pitch last week? Amazing. And then one of the groups had this mind to put Thorsten as a goalkeeper. You think you're going to get a ball past him? you are joking. It was talent at his peak. And then I saw Nigel. He sings every day. And you think Nigel's talent is only guitar and singing. He came bowling and we all went back. Talent is everywhere. It's a gift. And I want to, Doreen is not here, but on Thursday we saw her. She dramatized the washing of Jesus' feet with a dance, and just a dance. It was beautiful. Jackie was there. It was amazing. We have talents. There are people, there's Amelia, I know she's gifted, she's got talent, there's lots of you, a lot of people have talent, people can do business and stuff like that. Please, let's pray and let's rise it, because we are heading for victory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow. That's a great word. Really good word from Lee and from Anita. Can I just mention about Jeff Tucker? Because perhaps the most unlikely player on the field last week. Never judge a person by what they look like on the outside. He was like the Thunderbolt. He was like Thomas the Tank Engine. He had more energy than I had, I think, at the end of the afternoon. Did you ache afterwards? So, I still ache today, actually, from last week. Anyway, the Lord's spoken to us, and we are a body, we're a people, and the Lord is really wanting us to continue to move forward together, both here and East Grinstead. He wants us to be a people of love, a people of openness, and to release these talents and gifts. It needs to be the Holy Spirit that does it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit so much. And I'm tempted, but I'm not going to read it because we're over. I think we've received enough. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's stand up. And just begin to speak out to God this morning. Just say, I'm going to build. Just make a declaration this morning that I'm going to build. I'm going to build, Lord. I'm going to build with you, 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 Lord. Let us build together. Let us build together. Let us arise and build together. Let us arise and build together, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you this morning. You're stirring us up as your people, Lord, that each one of us are members of your body. And we thank you that we have the same common life, the life of the Holy Spirit living within us. And we pray today, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done up to this point. But Lord, we thank you that there's about to be a breakthrough. We thank there is a release here, Lord, in the Holy Spirit that we've been waiting for. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you've brought us up to this point so that you can build us together and so that we will build together with the Master Builder, with you, Lord. And Father, I pray this morning that we'll begin to go further. Father, I just begin to pray this morning that you begin to stir us up, Lord. Stir us up in our hearts. Stir us up in our spirit. Father, show us how to stir up the gifts that are within us, Lord. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit and by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Just begin to pray out now. Just begin to release your spirit. This is where it needs to happen. This is where it needs to come from. Not from our minds, but from our spirit. Just begin to stir up your spirit this morning. Jesus, just begin to stir us up, Lord. Stir us up, Lord. And we stir up those gifts and those abilities that are within us this morning, Lord, that we will go further, Lord. We will go further in God. We'll go further in prayer. Not in our own strength, but in the ability of God. We'll go further with the gifts that you've already entrusted to us. And we're going to discover new gifts and new callings upon us, Lord. We've been handpicked by our King. We've been handpicked by the Lord. And we thank you, Father, for this. So we declare today, I will build with you, Lord. Just say that together. I will build with you, Lord. Let us build together. Let us build together. Let's say it together. Let us build together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I saw the Lord this morning as the builder. And I don't know if you've ever seen a sort of a very clever builder when he dresses a stone. We're not talking about just the usual kind of bricks, but where he dresses a stone, he has to cut things off and shape things. And that's what he's doing in this church. That's what he's doing with each one of us. He is shaping us. And sometimes that can be painful. Sometimes that can be difficult. But I tell you, it's for our benefit. And God is shaping us as a people. And he's putting us together. That's the exciting thing, is he's putting us together. And as we're put together, God will fit us perfectly. Perfect fit. A perfect fit. God will fit us perfectly together as we go further in God. So look for ways in which you can go further today. Maybe you can help with the tea and coffee this morning. That's going further. Maybe you can help with the stewards. That's going further on a Sunday, that is. Maybe there's things that you can look out for on a Sunday morning. That's going further on a Sunday. And there's the rest of the whole week to go further in God. Invite someone around for tea. Invite someone around for a coffee. Go and bless somebody. Send somebody a text. Pray for somebody. Do something. Go further in the workplace. Release those testimonies of what God's done for you with the unsaved. There's so much God wants to release from us. Amen. Go further this week. Amen. Just go and encourage someone this morning and let's have tea and coffee. Yeah. Or there's the book table this morning. And can I just mention, just before we go further, that copies of The Truth, Pastor Collins' New Testament, it's a clear, compelling, contemporary new version. It's very, very good. It's very readable. He's gone back to the original language, the original translations, and looked at it all and put it together. So do grab a copy of that. I think it's about £10. Is that right, Kelly? It's £10. £10 a copy. So bless you. Go and encourage.